Opening the scriptures to the New Testament, Paul's epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 1, following his opening salutation, identification of himself and greeting of his people, we read the two verses, verses 16 and 17 of the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, sentences which signal the whole content and direction of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. The word of God reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The importance of justification. Why? Why should we consider justification? Justification is important. It is vitally important. It is overwhelmingly important. It is supremely important. It is everlastingly important. Listen to some of the assessments of justification by a few biblical scholars. John Calvin, in the Institutes, writes about justification. "This is the main hinge on which religion turns." Zacharias Ursinus, in his commentary on the Heidelberg Catechism, writes, "The doctrine of justification is one of the chief articles of our faith, not only because it treats those things which are fundamental, but also because it most frequently is called in question by heretics." Contemporary theologian J.I. Packer describes justification as "the heart and hub and essence of the whole economy of God's saving grace." Going back to the Reformation, to Martin Luther. Martin Luther calls it "the first and chief article upon which depends all that we teach and practice." That's justification. Further, he writes, "We must be entirely certain of this and not doubt it, otherwise all will be lost." Concerning justification. His most famous comment on justification is made in his commentary on Psalm 130, verse 4, where he writes, "If this article stands, the church stands. If it falls, the church falls." It is that important. It deserves careful reflection, the doctrine of justification. The importance of justification. Of all of the expositors with whom I am familiar, the pastor and theologian most blessed with clarity and conviction about justification is the Reformed Presbyterian minister and professor Edward Donnelly of Northern Ireland. He preached a series of 10 sermons on justification to his congregation in 2001. Benefiting from his work, we will consider various aspects of justification. We begin with the importance of justification. To set the importance before you, I have four theses, four statements, four compelling reasons why justification is important. Justification is central to the Bible. Justification is crucial for the church. Justification is corrupted by the attacks. And justification is critical for the sinner. Justification is central to the Bible. The first reason for the importance of justification is that it is the central theme and purpose of the Bible. The theme of the Bible is how sinners can be right with God. The purpose of the Bible is to make sinners right with God. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. This brings us to justification. One of the great books of Scripture, Paul's letter to the Romans, has justification as its main theme. When Paul wants to teach the gospel, he teaches justification. He writes in Romans 1:17 that the righteousness of God has been revealed. He writes in Romans 4:25 that Jesus our Lord was risen for our justification. From Romans 1:16 to the end of chapter 4, he expounds this doctrine of justification. The rest of the epistle of Romans is an outworking of the implications of the doctrine of justification. It's that important. It's not only in Romans that we find justification. We find it all through the Scripture. We find it at the beginning, when God took garments of skin and clothed Adam and Eve, prefiguring the work of justification. He hid their shame and their nakedness. We find it when Abel brought to the Lord the firstborn of his flock, an innocent sacrifice for his sin. We find it when Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. The whole sacrificial system of the Old Testament teaches justification by faith. David writes in Psalm 32, verse 2, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." That is justification by faith. Isaiah tells us that by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. Jeremiah says, "Now this is his name by which he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Go on into the New Testament. The Lord Jesus comes intimately connected with justification by faith. On the cross, he atones for sin. On the day of Pentecost, justification by faith is preached. In the book of Acts, there is a great struggle about the admission of Gentiles to the people of God. On what basis are they to be admitted? Because justification by faith is true. In the letters such as Galatians, Paul deals with this great theme and brings it before the people. In the last chapter of the Scriptures, we read in Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city." Justification is at the heart of the Scriptures. When we study it, we are not wasting our time. We are grasping what is central to the Bible. The first reason for studying justification is that it is central to the Bible. Justification is crucial for the church. The second compelling reason for the importance of justification is because of the ignorance of the church. Since this doctrine is so biblically central, we might expect that if Christians understood anything, they would certainly understand justification. It would seem to be that this is one of the chief things, one of the ABCs of Christian faith. We might expect the whole Christian church to be passionately committed to the proclamation of justification. Sadly, that is not true. We are living in an era of profound theological ignorance. The irony is that we are in the midst of an information revolution that brings more information into a household with a computer than any of us could digest in a lifetime. We can find out anything with a few clicks. If ever people should be well informed, it is us. Yet we find professing believers stumbling in a most shameful confusion. Westminster Shorter Catechism, published in 1648, contains a number of statements. In answer 33, one of the finest uninspired summaries of justification is articulated. It says, "Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. In the preface to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the divines apologize for its childish simplicity and brevity. They regard it as catechizing such as are of weaker capacity. They receive the Shorter Catechism. They realize that there are some people who are not very intelligent, some who had little education. They decided that instead of the proper, larger catechism, there would be a mini version for the simplest person. That was over 360 years ago. Now, there are seminary graduates and men in the pulpit who know far less theology than little children used to know from the catechism. People don't know. Worse, they don't want to know. They don't even know that they don't know. They don't know about justification. They know less about it than they know about ancient Arabic. Churches are full of people who have made a commitment they really don't understand to a Savior they really don't know for reasons they really don't understand. Numerous people call themselves born again and are still in their sins. They have never been converted. People are mentally lazy. They don't want to think. Worse, they are impatient with accurate definitions and precise thinking. They dislike clarity. They are reluctant to distinguish truth from error. They don't like you saying, this means this and therefore it cannot mean that. This is true and therefore that must be false. Clear thinking is opposed by the spirit of our age. People are infatuated by what they think is practical. They want how-to sermons. They have no interest in what they call abstract theology. People are experience-centered. They want feel-good religion. They want their emotions moved. They want heat without light. It's a tragedy that among professing people of God, justification is met at best with apathy. Do you know what this doctrine is? The irony of it all, for those that do understand and love this doctrine, there is nothing more practical. If you want feel-good religion, there is nothing that will make you feel better than to know that your sins are forgiven and that you are accepted in the righteousness of Christ. The second reason for studying justification is because it is crucial for the church. Justification is corrupted by the attacks. The third reason for the importance of justification is because this doctrine is under sustained assaults. It's startling that at this moment, this historic doctrine is being assaulted from different directions. Surely this should make us pause and ask, why is Satan so interested in attacking the doctrine of justification? Why has the new perspective on Paul and the federal vision arisen in our day? What is happening? There's a battle waging around this doctrine. And this should immediately attract the attention of every Christian. We are like soldiers. And if there is a fierce battle in one part of the battlefield, that should concern us. Something important is happening. Something important is being attacked. We will refer briefly to some of these attacks on justification when we come to the meaning of justification in another message. We will not go into detail. However, you need to be warned. You need to have some red flags to show you the dangerous areas. You need to be aware that certain writers and certain words, that you might know where the danger is. The doctrine of justification is being attacked. We should study justification because it is central to the Bible It is crucial for the church. It is corrupted by the attacks. And there's a fourth and most important reason why we should understand justification. Justification is critical for the sinner. Justification is critical for the sinner. The fourth reason for the importance of justification is practical and personal, far more vital to us than all the other reasons. We need to understand justification because it is something that every one of us desperately needs. If you receive an attractive advertisement for a special offer but have no interest in it, the offer is not relevant to you. You do not need it. It doesn't matter how attractive the offer may be, if people don't think they need it, it has no appeal. Our Lord expressed this when he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." If you go to a healthy person and say, "I have the most wonderful doctor, met the most wonderful doctor down the road. His fees are very low. He has a beautiful waiting room. He is very caring and knowledgeable man. You can talk all day. But if a person thinks he's healthy, he will hear your words with indifference." This is our massive problem about justification. Most people are not convinced that they need what it offers. Therefore, they do not listen to anything that we have to say. Rather, they dislike this doctrine. They hate it. It's repulsive to them. There's nothing new about this. From the very beginning, proud sinners have hated God's grace. Men and women do not want to be called to repentance, to surrender themselves, to come to Christ in humble need. Paul affirms this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The spirit of our age is unusually antagonistic to this doctrine. There are other scriptural realities that need the doctrine of justification. Other biblical doctrines strengthen it and make it coherent. Other truths put justification in its context and make it convincing. And these realities have been almost erased from human consciousness in our day. For example, an infinitely holy and awesome God is ignored. For example, the idea that human beings are depraved and helpless is dismissed. The appalling abnormality of sin is denied. The reality of God's wrath and the existence of hell is defied. It is the truth about God, the abomination of sin, the determination of salvation, in which justification must be known. These things are no longer credible in our man-centered world. We live in the absence of absolutes. This is a change from previous centuries. Years ago, then, there were unbelievers who generally believed in God. They knew that sin was something bad. They believed that there was a hell. They were afraid of death and judgment. There was a sense of good and evil. There was a notion of right and wrong. That has changed. The very context in which justification makes sense has been almost demolished. If you say to someone, "You are a guilty, lost sinner who will stand before the judgment of God," they will look at you like you are a freak, a fanatic. What ancient world did you step out of? Justification does not connect easily with modern society. There are no handles in contemporary culture that can grab onto it. It doesn't seem to be relevant to people. It doesn't meet any pressing need that they feel. The great question of our age, how can a sinner be right with God, doesn't mean anything to modern people. They don't admit that they are sinners. They don't care if there is a God. If there is a God, they don't see why they're not already right with Him. They don't care if they're right with Him or not. If they need to be made right, it's not a big deal. The typical evangelical preaching of our day is not of guilty criminals standing before a holy God. It's rather of a lost son coming home to a loving father. We're living in a context where the atmosphere is almost toxic and hostile to the underlying presuppositions of justification, that it's difficult to win a hearing for it. And we must not imagine that we ourselves are unaffected by it. We're living in this polluted atmosphere of our society. It may affect our view of Christian faith and our understanding of truth. Many of our contemporaries have no sense of sin as an offense against God. When we explain the gospel of salvation from sin, we're not telling them anything that they think is relevant to their lives. They don't feel much interest in it. If people are to come to Christ, if we who are in Christ are to appreciate our Savior with the glory and wonder of our salvation, then it is imperative that everyone, converted or not, feel our desperate need of God's righteousness to cover us. We need to focus on the reality of our sin. That will be the subject of our next study. We need to be justified. We need God to justify us, to accept us as righteous, because we have no righteousness of our own. David writes in Psalm 143, verses 1 and 2, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness answer me, in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous." The last phrase has been translated, "In thy sight no man living be justified. In thy sight no man living is righteous. No one living is righteous before you." Remember this statement. No one living is righteous before God. It's enough for now to become alert to the enormous importance of righteousness. In the next message, we'll confront the necessity for righteousness. Justification is important because it is central to the theme and purpose of the Bible. It is crucial for the ignorance of the church. It is corrupted by sustained attacks. And it is critical for our desperate need as sinners. Since the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith," personally and practically, you must realize that the doctrine of justification is vitally important to you. The importance of justification. Bow in prayer. Father, as we assemble before you as the people of God, the word justification is not foreign to us. And in broader context, the world might have some kind of context to it. But we are seeking that the claims of the Scripture, the clarity of the Word of God, might press home upon us that unless we truly understand justification, we don't have any hope. We don't have any clarity. We don't have any proper relationship with you. All the experiences of life are majestic, are marvelous as they come in pleasing ways. But one of the most dramatic things is when we come to realize that we are justified by faith. We are justified by the person and work of Jesus Christ. And while it is so central to the Bible and has attracted the attention of animosity throughout, even in the Reformed world, may we see something of the necessity and the importance of justification and set ourselves quietly before you to receive and to absorb as much as we can, that we might live before you as those who have received such mercy to be justified, to be counted as righteous in your sight. And for so we enter into the worship of the living God as those who have been justified by the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and by the work of the Holy Spirit to make us have a lively faith. Cause us to grow in appreciation and understanding, and grow in vigor and articulation of the wonder of your blessedness, of being justified in your sight. We ask for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.